Hey friends, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Breecap, and I heard about Boone Carter from my boyfriend Paul after he judged a songwriting competition and came away singing his praises. And when I met Boone in person in true Brie fashion, I didn't put it together that he was the same guy. That's because he was behind the camera directing a documentary interviewing me. He is seamlessly cool and multi-talented. He's the guy that's the actor, the director, and the songwriter. And that should be frustrating, but it's not, because he's delightfully nice and so intelligent. I love that he named his music style Goth Country. And please go check out his new single, Still the Night, wherever you listen, to hear that voice and what he means by that. Also, at Boone Songs, B-O-O-N-E underscore songs, is my favorite place to follow him. I can't believe that we didn't talk about our best friends at the Goose on Lime Creek near Austin, which is where we recorded this podcast. Rebecca and Dave at the Goose so graciously lent us this artist getaway, safe haven, and gorgeous space for filming just because they love live music. And they love Boone, as do we now. Enjoy.
I was wearing full like goth makeup, yes. And I was like, this is the most I felt accepted in the scene than I ever have. And so that was something that kind of stuck. And now I've started seeing more people around Texas start using that, mm-hmm. which is kind of flattering.
Absolutely.
It's very cool. And I also think that people are just trying to find some way to differentiate what they're saying. And I kind of want to give people a warning before they hear my music, so they're not like just completely expecting one thing or the other.
Hey everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
What we're going to invest in is maybe, can you put a teleprompter on your list?
Those are helpful.
You know? I think I could do anything with a teleprompter.
I did a fake news show for like a year, and when we had a teleprompter.
You should tell me about this in there. I like to just start without any warning. Yeah, we can't lean back. Am I still in the frame?
Yeah.
This is exactly how I'm going to do this.
Is this
the most lovely couch.
This is nice. You should get a teleprompter. It makes everything a lot easier.
Yeah.
You can kind of just... You don't ever have to think again.
You said you were doing a TV show or something. What were you?
Yeah. I'm from Texas, but I moved to New York doing film, like acting kind of stuff. So I was a writer and an actor for an internet show that no longer exists. But
would I know it?
I don't know. It was called We the Internet.
Okay.
It was fun. It was trying to explain big ideas in ways that people who like Reddit and smoke weed probably understand.
I love this.
Yeah.
Can you still send some to me? That's
I'll
what I mean.
It.
That's
I'll find
awesome.
It. It was a very fun opportunity, and I got to work with my really good friend to just write. I think we wrote like 70 episodes.
Oh my gosh!
So, yeah, and then pretty quickly after that, I moved to LA, and I kind of got tired of LA in about 2 years.
Yeah.
So I moved back to Texas.
That's so fascinating. So this is Boone Carter, everybody. I forget to introduce people frequently.
Yeah.
But that you're good at everything. That's got to be a little bit frustrating for you just
everything.
Being so multi-talented.
I had to make a decision to do film and music, and those are the only things that I'm going to try to be good at. Those are the two things.
Those are two giant things.
Yeah,
though.
I know.
It's not like a ping pong and beer drinking.
I gave up like painting.
Right.
I'm not going to be a painter.
Listen,
or a sculptor.
I can't be an architect any longer. Mm-hmm. I'm a podcaster and a musician. Those are my two things. Do you paint for real though?
No, but I like had this like fleeting moment where I was like, I'm going to learn how to paint, or I'm going to learn how to crochet or something like that. And I was like, no,
I'm
just going to do these things.
That's all of us.
Yeah.
Because I think that I would be a great painter.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried once, and turns out I'm not good at it. But you're probably not good at it at all at the beginning. Just like every painter says, I want to write a song, and they're probably not. But I have the same vision of myself as an artist, or I think that I would be really great at sewing or fashion design or something. But I think as artists, we really take on this giant view of what we're capable of, right? Why do we do that? Most people are. They just want to go do a great job at being an accountant and then go home at 5 o'clock. Yeah. I would love that kind of brain for 1 second.
That kind of makes me nervous. Like the idea of like having a job that I did the same thing every day kind of makes me like anxious, existential.
Yeah, I think so too. But that steady paycheck, whoo-ee.
Be nice, yeah.
I'm sure you have that with more so with film than music. Is it similar? Because to me, they seem very parallel type of industries.
They definitely are very congruent, you know, mm-hmm. peanut butter jelly kind of thing. Especially for me, I work in documentary. So I work in about music, about country music, actually. So they kind of will like build off of each other. Mm-hmm. But it's to me, they make the most sense together. And like making music for movies is like kind of that through line, yes. that I'm trying to aim for.
There was multiple moments listening to your record this weekend that I thought, this is a movie song for sure. And now that makes sense to me. Yeah. Now that you're telling me you're writing for a movie. And I do that sometimes too. Or if we go into track, I really want this to sound like Zorro is riding through the desert on a horse or something, yeah, and absolutely. Making the musicians kind of model that. I love that idea. Not that I've had any of my songs in a movie yet.
Me neither. So,
oh, how is that possible? You put them in your own movies.
I put them in friends' movies and stuff. Okay. Yeah, and then hopefully someday I'm gonna knock on wood on that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Hopefully soon.
Can you talk about that documentary? Because you've been working on that for a while.
Yeah, I can. It's about outlaw country. It was going for about 7 years before I joined, and I joined 5 years ago. So there's a lot of legacy among that. The interviews we have are kind of amazing. We have pretty much anybody you could think of, alive or dead. Wow. Like it's, we have a lot of people's last interviews and we're just kind of sitting on it. It kind of feels like a little bit of a gold mine. And I'm
don't lose that footage.
Oh no. I think when it comes out, it's going to be a really big deal. And that's one of the reasons why I've dedicated 5-6 years of my life to help make that happen. I'm definitely the smallest fish in that pond, but it's been really cool to work on it. And it's influenced my music. Obviously, I've been listening. I would be editing and I would listen to these songs like Jerry Jeff Walker, yeah. Tom T. Hall, Billy Joe Shaver, and it just kind of influenced, and Kris Kristofferson. It influenced my music so much. It made me think differently about being from Texas and being from like this country music kind of thing. And
like the pride or the fact that they came from this place too and are so wonderful, or what
I think a little bit of both. I mean, there was also the poetry of definitely like those artists, those troubadours, you know, the poetry was something that really kind of stuck out to me. I was like, this is beautiful songwriting. And I love that.
I love that too. Sunday Morning Coming Down is my favorite song of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was funny because I loved it so much before I understood it.
Uh-huh.
And now almost every Sunday is when we're driving back from somewhere in America and that kind of blues will hit me. And there's something peaceful about knowing it also happened to Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, yeah.
That you feel, okay, I'm not crazy. This is how these people felt. And those were some of the names that I was hoping that you would
definitely
mention.
Definitely.
That's so special. So we have no news on when that's coming out. That's just kind of just a work in progress. Like it's a magical little work in progress.
It pops up every once in a while. We've done some screenings, but I don't have any definite date. I also don't know how much I can talk about.
I know we're
going
to get you in trouble.
Yeah, they'll find out. They'll see.
Only Vans exclusive. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, one of the things about Sunday Morning Coming Down, did you know that you probably know this story, but when Johnny Cash sang it on his show, they were like, don't mention anything to do with like weed or drugs. Like, don't mention anything. Like, and he looked right at the camera
No way.
And he looked at Chris and he looked right at the camera and he delivered it and then it canceled his show. And that was like, that was what a lot of people say is like the first outlaw moment.
You know? Oh my gosh. So this is a fun fact. Johnny Cash and my grandma were second cousins.
Wow.
So I'm a second cousin twice removed. Listen, it's a lot of math, but
no, that still counts.
It's really interesting because my ancestors took some sort of seed of some sort when the Carolinas flooded or something. And so there's a lot of farming. I need to get my facts straight before I talk. My dad's probably squirming in a seat watching this podcast, but I used to know more about it. But I do feel that, you know, I love Jesus, but I drink a little, or like outlaw.
Yeah, kind yeah, of yeah.
Through my veins a little, and not in the sense that you're trying to be so much as you just find yourself existing in that sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that you kind of have, I mean, you said outlaw country, and what is really fun is reading anything that you do is goth country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you talk? I mean, it's totally true.
Yeah.
And it's so fitting for you. It's so cool. You're the way that you write is not traditional, but it still sounds very traditional, or it sounds very Johnny Cash. It sounds very warm, but your style of writing is very different, and I don't know, I really love it. Big fan.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's, I did a really bad job at explaining this. Kyle, edit this part out.
But goth country is something my friend Hayden Butler came up with, and it was definitely started very tongue-in-cheek, kind of just a joke, kind of like just like moody country.
Yeah.
But one thing that I kind of realized is it definitely became like an umbrella term that kind of encompassed anything that didn't totally fit in to exactly what people are like listening to down at like honky tonks and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So it was I jokingly said like the first time we threw our first goth country night, which was like a big, you know, like a big soiree to celebrate, country music that's a little not down the beaten path, you know? I was wearing full like goth makeup, yes. And I was like, this is the most I felt accepted in the scene than I ever have. And so that was something that kind of stuck. And now I've started seeing more people around Texas start using that,
mm-hmm.
and which is kind of flattering.
Absolutely.
It's very cool. And I also think that people are just trying to find some way to differentiate what they're saying. And I kind of want to give people a warning before they hear my music, so they're not like just completely expecting one thing or the other. But then I think they kind of come out of it not really knowing what they got.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, we talk about genres, and I'm trying to put my first single to Americana radio, which what is that versus country radio, mm-hmm. and how all the genre lines get blurred. And so I've been calling myself New Texican, which is
that's great.
Yeah, and so I would be also honored if other people identified as that, just because I don't think I fit in any box. So you can create your own box for people. But now just some of the initial feedback from my new project is it might be too mainstream for Americana, or too Americana for mainstream. So now we have to create our own radio box.
Sure. Yeah,
for
yeah,
you
yeah.
and me, because yeah. we're going through, I think, this phase where there's all these things on social media where you can find these niches of people. But as far as mainstream goes, it's still hard in the music industry to create that path.
Definitely.
I don't know if as a unique, everyone wants you to be unique, but then no one knows what to do with you, kind of, which is,
well, isn't there a term, Nashville doesn't know what to do with a singer songwriter.
I think
Tom T. Hall said that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'll, I don't know. I have so many ups and downs with Nashville, and I try not to hate on it too much.
No,
but they definitely didn't know what to do with me. So
I think in some ways that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting to not totally fit in the thing. And I would also say, as we continue making music, as we continue drinking in music from all over, like I can get on the internet and I can find music from outside of the United States so much easier than I could have before. Genre doesn't totally exist.
Right.
As much anymore. I think that's what musicians would like to say, but I think marketing people, I don't know what they would say.
Right. Or the people that I'm trying to give my money to push to new markets.
Right.
Which is very, I'm glad that they're being honest with me instead of just taking my money.
Fair.
They're saying, I don't think that this is what this type of radio wants to hear right now.
Sure.
Which is a little bit frustrating, but I'm all about indies making their own records and just figuring it out. So you, do you want to talk about your transition from you as a group to you as an individual artist?
Yeah, sure. I mean, part of it was definitely influenced by working on this project for so long. Mm-hmm. part of it was just I have always loved Roy Orbison, Johnny Cash, Glen Campbell, those like singular voices, you know.
Oh yeah.
And I've always wanted to emulate that. And working in the band that I am currently in, Gilded Lowe's, I found that I was writing things that didn't totally fit in what we were doing. We were kind of going down a different path. And I thought that was a really exciting path. I still think that's a really exciting path. But I was like, I really want to follow through with this singular vision. And I want to make a record that kind of definitely pulls heavily from my heroes. But at the same time, I didn't want to do something that was like cosplaying as that, you know. I have a lot of different love for all types of music.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you. Hey everybody, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Vans Podcast, and I want to point you in the right direction for content creation. My friends at Release Rocket Media are the best, Shelton and Ryan. They can do any sort of videos you want. They do all the audio, all the editing, stuff that I hate to do, they just do it for you. So if you're an artist or a business, it can be anything and you need content creation, trust me, Release Rocket is your go to. ReleaseRocketMedia.com.
But I wanted to make something that kind of was like a Rhinestone Cowboy or like a Scott Walker or something like that. So trying to make that happen right now.
Oh, I love that. I was thinking about Madame Radar's coming up here next, mm-hmm. and just the thought of today, I did a content day today, and the thought of my boyfriend telling me, we just did a content day and it was great. We just showed up and did it. And when you're by yourself, there's so much more. I love the idea of having a band for the division of work.
Yeah.
Or the division of even making videos, or the division of.
Sure.
So I always think that that's a bold move. I commend you, because it's not easy. Because I think if you are ever struggling as a band or something, you can kind of also share that burden of sadness or whatever. But when it's just me, man, I really, if I have a bad weekend, I'm like, should I quit? Am I terrible? You know, it's like, it feels like all of that burden is coming down on one person. That was not a very motivational.
No, it's, but maybe like a couple of years ago, that would have like devastated me. But now I'm kind of, I've been through that in different factors and all this kind of stuff. And now I know that this for me is kind of like a shot. And I'm going to try to take it as far as I can.
Yeah.
And it's something that I kind of have to have the flexibility to do that very quickly, make decisions, fly out to New York or something like that, you know, like things where I have to kind of move quickly. And that's one thing that I've noticed about doing this more as a solo project, even though I will say I am working with a lot of the people that I have worked with on the band, because they're some of the best musicians I know.
Right.
So that's also an exciting part of it too.
And a lot of times people want, I mean, I love my band. They're the greatest, but they don't necessarily want to be involved in all the day-to-day decisions anyway. They kind of love just being a support role. And Paul loves just being a support. He loves to show up and make somebody better.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so sweet. And that is when you find people that are really good, that are like that, you know, I don't think that I'm even capable of being that person. I wish I was, because that's very nice. Maybe I'm not as nice as those people are.
I don't know. I there was a time where there was a break in between my band, and I joined another band to learn how to play bass. I don't know if they know this, but I didn't know how to play bass at all when I joined this band. They probably know that. But I joined a band to learn how to play bass, and I kind of got that. What does it feel like to be on like the other side? Because all the other bands that I've always had were I was the leader of the band. And it really kind of reframed how I talked to my band members, like my expectations from people who are working with me. And it was a really helpful thing.
That is so helpful. That reminds me of thinking, you know how we always say everyone should take a year and work in the service industry?
Yeah.
Everyone should take a year and be a sideman in a band. Every artist should be a bassist, which I'm incapable of. My really good bass players and their just unique way of falling into rhythm. I am
definitely not a good bass player.
You're great. Yeah. What else do you play then?
I play guitar.
Yeah.
That's probably my main instrument. Yeah. In my band, I put down the guitar, but I picked it back up to do solo shows and stuff like that. And there's been something really great about, once again, reframing that, like kind of taking these projects and taking what works from them and what doesn't work from them and leaving that behind. It's been really great.
That is so fun. And new chapters of your life. And I've always wanted to start a band just because I would really like to just, I never really got that except when I was 14 with my brothers, which they're older than me. And you can imagine how twin brothers treated their little sister. I'm just kidding. I love them. Don't. But I do love the idea of collaboration, but I don't know at this point in my life if I'm so set in my ways. Everything that I do is my choice. Every dollar I spend is my dollar. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I love that control.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. So I think this will be already out by the time. I mean, it won't be out yet by the time you play your. When's your show? The June 13th?
Oh, the June 13th. Yeah, yeah. We're playing White Horse. We're doing Goth Country Night 3.
Oh my god!
Which is a collaboration. Hayden's playing. My band's playing. We're having our debut. We're playing first slot. Hayden Butler is playing second slot, and then Ryan Quiet is going to close us out. We had one. The last one we had was on Halloween. It was pretty fun. It was Hayden again. I guess there's a pattern of that. But then Jonathan Terrell closed us out on that one.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh, JT.
That was really cool.
He is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's Hayden's last name again?
Hayden Butler.
Hayden Butler. Yeah. Hayden Butler. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet him? What is up? You guys
we met at Hole in the Wall, actually.
Aww.
Yeah. Actually, it's very funny because I would say a lot of working on this kind of music was definitely from this conversation I had with him. I was playing with my band at Hole in the Wall, which is one of my favorite places. I played there last night. I played there quite a few times, but I met him and he's like, I don't know. He's talking to me. He's like, have you ever done two-step music? He's a big in the dance scene and everything like that. And he's like, if people can dance to whatever you're doing, you can sing about whatever you want. And I kind of like took that to heart. And then he said something. He was like, when people are dancing, it's like they're constantly applauding. He's like, I kind of liked that thing. So we got together and we wrote a couple of songs, and that kind of gave me footing to just keep going. That was probably like 2 years ago. And then I just kind of was like, I like writing these songs. I like falling in love with like the simplicity sometimes and like working on that kind of stuff. Cause I think that sometimes with other musical projects, I would get a little bit more complicated. Like how can I surprise someone with this? And I think that there's more of a balance now.
Yeah, those are two super simple statements that were kind of like, whoa, like, you know, that seems like we should all have already heard that a million times. That's really smart.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with songwriting. A sentence like that makes you go, that's exactly like writing a country song. I think sometimes country music sounds a lot more simple than it is because it's way harder to write a song with fewer words that has a message that maybe hasn't been done before than it is to put a bunch of words into a song. Kind of if I had,
absolutely,
I think it'd be easier to write as many words as I want, as many chords as I want, but to write something that doesn't sound like everything else, it's actually quite a challenge, right? But you have such a unique voice too. I'm just thrilled that you are even, you know, in our circle of
thank you
genres, the wide circle of genre that is.
I'm trying.
I love it. So can we talk about, you won a songwriting competition recently.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit embarrassed because I didn't know that this was the same person that my sweet boyfriend came home and was raving about you and so how nice. Good you were at the songwriting competition, and you won. And then when I saw you at the awards, you were behind the camera interviewing me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't put it together that you were the same person until later. And then I think I told Dave and Rebecca, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. That's the same person.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you because Paul, he's not selfish with his compliments, but he doesn't compliment for no reason. You know, he's just, and he loved your songwriting. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. And what do you get to do with that now?
That was I met Green Studios through that competition, AJ Vallejo's studio, and we've been working on songs. We actually have two songs that we're done, so we're actually continuing our partnership. I liked being over there so much that I think we're going to put together a record or an EP or something.
Oh my gosh.
I'm over there more in Green Studios than I ever expected to be, but it's always such a nice time to be there.
You know, you're about 4 minutes from my house when you're there.
Really? Well, yes. you should come when
we'll
I'm there.
Come by. Yeah, Paul really also fun. Offered his microphone if anyone wanted to rent it out, but he probably wouldn't. He's going to kill me for saying that. But we love that studio. I did a song there with AJ too. It's a great studio and it keeps getting better. They keep adding stuff to it. So two songs down, and AJ is such a fun person to record with.
Yeah. Working with him and Drew Heaton. Yeah, it's Drew's been kind great. Of like a really great kinship, and we've been making some really cool music.
What are the songs about? Can you tell?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to write a song, there's one about this. It's called Dead Friends, which is
this
about,
is making me so happy.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for friendships kind of changing as you grow older.
I love that.
And then I recorded another song called On and On, which is about going to a honky tonk, but being jealous of someone dancing with someone else and not really being the one that, you know, putting yourself in the place of the other partner, the dancer.
That's awesome.
And then we recently did a cover of I Shot the Sheriff, which has been kind of cool that we're hoping might, I don't know, I'm shooting for Yellowstone with that one or something like that.
Absolutely. That is so smart. I mean, what a great song. I always think we should have done more covers early on and tried to get more, you know, sync stuff happening, but that's really smart.
I was very against covers for a really long time when I was younger, and it was recently I was kind of like, oh, there is something cinematic about reinterpreting a song into something that people aren't expecting, and I think that's a strength that I'm developing.
Or I think one time this movie producer that had a bunch of my songs said, people are going to be thinking about what you're saying in the song instead of the plot of the movie. So I think the reason they choose a lot of covers is because people already know those songs.
That makes
sense.
So
they're not trying to think about what's happening in the song as much as they're like, oh, this is a really cool version of, you know, I can't help whatever. Anyway, the girl that sang that song.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the recap at the beginning.
It's, I remember watching Casey Musgraves. Right?
Is it?
Wait, for the new Elvis?
Yes.
I think it might have been Casey Musgraves, but I'm not sure.
But when you're just, you know the song already, and then the voice is just different and making you cry. Yeah, it's tough. But that's exciting. I love a good different version of a cover.
I do too. And I also think that there's something beautiful about, like, if you have a really happy song and then it's on something really dark, or if you have a dark song on a happy
that's
moment.
That's
like,
you.
Yeah, it's very goth country. But it's, I think that in some ways that's the most exciting thing, is you can reinterpret how somebody feels about a song.
Right.
And in Reservoir Dogs, that's like a big thing of like playing like happy music while like horrible things are happening.
Right.
Love Quentin
Tarantino.
You're
thinking of music from a film perspective all the time, probably.
Yeah. If I write a song, then I have a music video. I have like how I would make like a whole backstory. It all just kind of comes at once.
I love that. I think about that a lot with a song we have called Josefina that I wrote, that Kyle's like, I still want you to do a movie for that song, because I kind of do that too, but then the money doesn't always line up with
movies,
the filmmaking.
It's hard to make a movie.
yeah, I can't even imagine. So have you acted a whole lot though? I could totally see you as an actor. I've always wanted to act. It's the same thing for me with painting, where I'm like, I think I would love to be an actor. I think I'd be a good actress. And then whenever the camera turns on just during a music video, I all of a sudden forget how to walk. So
yeah,
I probably wouldn't be a great actor.
I went to acting school in New York. For a long time when I was a kid, That was kind of like, my parents were like, oh, you're going to be an actor. I had an agent when I was a kid, but I was only in a couple of commercials and stuff like that. But it was really when I went to New York and then LA, I kind of learned basically, if you're not getting roles, you should start writing roles for yourself. So I became more of a writer, and then working with people in LA to do music videos. I was working on spec. I ended up getting, they just kept putting me in music videos that I was like working on the crew for or something like that. Cool. But I actually, I wasn't acting for a long time, but I am prepping to do a short film in East Texas in July.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what I can say, but it's like, it's a very like Texas story.
In someone else's.
Yeah. Someone found me. Like, they found my old, reel from when I went to school, and they're like, if you can still act, like, you should try out for this part. And it's been a really cool, exciting thing. I'm very excited about that project. I just want to make sure it happens before I say anything.
Well, that is so exciting, and I could totally see you doing all of that. Well, while we're on camera, if I do my music video / short film for my new song that I'm learning to gunsling for,
yeah,
will you be in my
of
music
course
video?
Yeah. Okay. I also should point out that you might have seen me in a Whataburger commercial, like, maybe a couple months ago.
Great.
Yeah, as a cowboy. I wore an eye patch and everything. So I've been getting back into acting, but it's been very organic. It's like, as soon as I stopped trying, then I finally started getting opportunities.
Yeah, that seems how life goes, right?
Which is super exciting.
Did you get free honey butter chicken biscuits?
No, they kind of. I think they just put it out, and they just like,
gave you money, which is
great.
Which
is fine. It was great. Yeah. It was really. I had a really fun time with that.
But that is so exciting. Well,
it's
I didn't
so silly.
Miss too much because this went by like crazy. But Boone Carter debuting your new band at White Horse. That will be so epic. I already looked. Yeah. I can't go.
Okay. We'll miss you there. Yeah.
I won't be there, but this won't be out in time for that probably anyway. But
okay.
I'm sure people can go, you know, just follow you everywhere, and your new music will be coming out. I'm sure there'll be new dates with your band.
Yeah. I'm hoping to kind of kick things off. June 13th is kind of the first step.
Oh my gosh.
And then
wear eyeliner?
Putting out music. I might do something. My girlfriend's a makeup artist, so I kind of let her.
This whole time we've been friends, she's a makeup artist, and you just didn't tell me about that?
I can put you in contact with her.
Oh, bless it. Today I did my own makeup for content day, and I almost started crying. So like, I don't like it. And I think, just like painting, I'm like, I can do my own makeup. I'm going to watch TikTok and give it a go, and then I end up not doing
it. It's really fun about the Goth Country Night thing, because people wear like black, like all black, like black shirt, and they'll be like, wow, I'm so goth.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Like, I mean, it's like, it's not really like, I don't even know if real goths would come to that. I don't know if real country people come to that. It's just kind of like a mishmash of people. And it's always such a really, it's a really fun time.
That is the White Horse, and that is Austin. And that's why we love it so much.
Yeah.
And I think all of us went to high school, and there was a goth girl there that we were all like, I want to be like, she's so cool. And it's fun to, even the people that come, I just played White Horse, and there was a bunch of people from California, and they had all head to toe, you know, country outfits on, mm-hmm. and they were having the best time, and they said, I feel so powerful when I wear my cowboy hat. And I said, you should, that's what it's for. Like, you feel like you could, you know, rope a bad guy and kick their, you know what, and that's fine with me. I don't care if you're not a real cowboy. If you wear a cowboy hat, you know, you don't have to be a real goth or total goth to go to a great concert and wear all black if you want to.
It's all
everyone's
just
welcome,
like,
here.
Just like labels and stuff. But I'm so proud to be Texan now. And that's something that it took me a while. It took me leaving Texas to realize how cool it is to be from Texas.
I love that. Yeah. It is very cool. I'm from New Mexico, and the same kind, my music mm-hmm. lately has been all about where I'm from. The older you get, the more you appreciate your roots. And I
went to school in New Mexico too.
What?
That's, really? I know that's something
what?
To drop.
Yeah, no, we're already out of time. What? Where?
I went to SUFUAD, Santa Fe University of Art and Design, College of Santa Fe, yeah. turned into that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know it's a weird school too.
That is so awesome. Yeah. I love Santa Fe.
Yeah. Me too.
It was I have really two nice. Shows there this summer. Kyle, you want to come back to Santa Fe with us? I have Paul. He's a great guy. Plays great guitar. He's pretty hot, but. His grandfather had bought a house in Santa Fe in the 50s. That's right off the plaza.
Oh, cool.
And so we get to go stay there for free in this house that was built before America was America.
Oh, my God.
And it's adobe walls, and there's just pottery. And, and so as soon as I found that fact about him, I tied him down.
That's amazing.
Good. Well, this is perfect timing. Look, hey, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they always look like a million bucks? You do, too, though. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait for all of your... new things that are coming out. I just think you're so talented, and we could do this for so two more hours and not get to all the things that you're good at, especially picking out that shirt. Is this not the best we've ever looked on a podcast? I think it's it. Thank you so much. Thank Boone Carter, so everybody. Much.
Thank you.
Still as the night, cold as the wind, don't guess I'll see my baby again. His devil smile stole her from me. Until she's back, my heart will be still as the night, cold as the wind. As the wind, now her warm lips are kissing him. Can't eat, can't sleep.